I used to find Thomas Wolfe's words, "You can't go home again," comforting. My childhood home was violent and scary. I'd never want to go back there. But I thoroughly enjoyed returning to other former homes. Last year, when Russ and I returned to Michigan State University so I could see a black-capped chickadee where I'd seen my first precisely 50 years before, we checked out all the apartments where we'd lived. It was also fun to retrace my steps at Baker Woodlot. I loved our time in East Lansing and felt nostalgic, but I had no pangs of homesickness. It was during our time there that we got married, graduated from college, and I started birding, so it's not like this wasn't a lovely, important, and memorable period of our lives. But I think that, like high school, East Lansing always felt like a temporary wayside on the path to where our real lives would begin, never quite home. Then 2 weeks ago, I attended the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology's annual convention. This year, it was in Madison, and I felt wave after wave of homesickness. The meeting was held in a hotel just a few doors down from Russ's and my old apartment building. We both loved that apartment, and the building looks almost exactly the same as it did when we left 45 years ago, but I felt nostalgic, not homesick. As far as dwellings go, Peabody Street has been home for me from the moment we carried our first boxes in, a bald eagle flying overhead, evening grosbeaks calling from the box elders, and chickadees showing up within moments of Russ setting up our first bird feeder. Peabody Street is where we brought our three newborn babies home to, and even where my daughter and son-in-law brought their newborn baby home to during the pandemic. No, our old Madison apartment didn't feel like home, but that building was less than a mile from the first place on this planet that I fell truly, madly, deeply in love with, Picnic Point, or what is now called the Lakeshore Nature Preserve. That's where I felt all those waves of homesickness. I discovered Picnic Point the first week we lived in Madison, and it was love at first sight. The park was on the shoreline of Lake Mendota, with wonderful marshes, mature woods, dense tangles, and other rich habitats all in a single lovely park. I visited Picnic Point hundreds of times in the 5 years we were there, including every single school day morning from the beginning of March through the end of the school year, except during thunderstorms. I'd get up at 4, put on my birding clothes, and grab my backpack with a change of clothes and any graded papers and other work I'd brought home, and would bird from before sunrise until it was time to head to the bus stop. When birding was good, sometimes I had to run a mile or more to make it on time. Noel, my bus driver, would wait if he spotted me running, so only once did I miss the bus. A golden-winged warbler was singing away in some dense vegetation, and I simply had to see it. I ran like mad after I finally got a good look, but was still over a block from the bus stop, not in easy view when the bus went by. I had to run the mile and a half to get to work. A school bus passed me, some of my students taking bets on whether I'd make it in time. The losers learned never to bet against Mrs. E. On this 3-day stay in Madison, I visited Picnic Point 4 times, feeling a soul-deep contentment every moment I was there. Warbling vireos, American robins, gray catbirds, and Baltimore orioles seemed just as abundant as ever, along with a few red-headed woodpeckers and wood ducks. No place stays the same over years, much less decades, and many things about Picnic Point are very different from what I remember. Back then, I saw cliff swallows only as migrants. Now they're nesting somewhere about because I saw them collecting mud. Canada geese were once strictly migrants visiting Picnic Point only briefly in spring and fall. Now they're nesting all over the place. wild turkeys wander in the woods, and no longer is the marsh across University Bay Drive teeming with black terns. The nesting colony that I so loved and took for granted disappeared long ago. But hokey smoke, now sandhill cranes are everywhere, in the marshes and ball fields, flying overhead, and even strolling across busy parking lot entrances. During my 5 years in Madison, I'd amassed a list of exactly 200 species of birds at Picnic Point, but sandhill cranes were not among them. Now they were inescapable. My son often tells me about the adorable baby sandhill cranes near his home in Florida. Cranes are so exceptionally tame there that it's easy to see whole families on manicured lawns. Up here, they keep to wilder places, the grasses and shrubs almost always obscuring views of the little colts. In Madison, the cranes have grown every bit as comfortable with people as those Orlando ones. It was especially thrilling to see a family with two little colts at close range when I was leading a family birding trip with my dear friend Alicia Craig. I missed the old Picnic Point sign, but I was very happy to notice on one of the new signs that the park now opens at 4 a.m. Back when I lived there, the park didn't open until 7. I hate breaking legitimate rules, but what choice did I have? One spring morning when I was thrilling at some hooded mergansers hours before the park opened, I heard footsteps approaching. Even as I was turning around, I blurted out, "Look through my scope, hooded mergansers displaying." And then I realized the guy was a policeman there to kick me out. But he politely obliged, and the moment his eyes focused, he got excited. He'd hunted hooded mergansers before, but had never seen them displaying. He didn't say a word about my being there when the park was closed. Instead, he started strolling by regularly, always asking what I'd been seeing. That kind of friendliness at Picnic Point is the same as always. One guy walking past saw my big camera and asked how many pictures I'd taken that day. I checked, 371 so far. We got to talking about birds, and he asked what the giant ones walking around were. He had a rich Caribbean accent and the jolliest laugh I've ever heard. Fittingly, his name was Jude. He really could take a sad song and make it better. A bit later, I ran into a graduate student named Martin, whose Picnic Point list had surpassed mine. He was at 214. I miss Picnic Point profoundly, but was so happy knowing that my beloved park is in good hands. Change may be the only constant, but at Picnic Point, the song remains the same. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.